Welcome to the Ottawa Press Corps, journalists, broadcasters, and all of you who work hard to bring current news and varied opinion to the Canadian public. I'm Rod Taylor, national leader of the Christian Heritage Party of Canada, one of Canada's 16 registered federal parties. The Christian Heritage Party has long been known for our commitment to the protection of innocent human life, from conception until death, and that's a position we still hold, and on this position we stand alone. However, many of our policies on economic and other issues are not as well known. We believe they are also critical to the growth and stability of Canada, and in fact they are inextricably entwined with issues of morality and social values. As a starting point for this discussion, we point to the opening statement of Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which posits Canada's founding principles as recognizing the supremacy of God and the rule of law. In terms of governing Canada, its provinces, territories, and municipalities, a departure from these principles is contrary to the spirit and the letter of the Charter. It also puts at risk not only the rights and freedoms it was intended to protect, but the economic well-being of Canadian families and the nation itself. For Canada to survive as a nation, we need our economy to be strong, and it is to this end that I offer the following remarks. Those citizens who acknowledge the Creator and who recognize His supremacy in all things are familiar with the concept of seeking His blessing and guidance in all we do. We understand that His moral code, much of which is entrenched in our founding documents and in legislation passed at all levels of government, carries with it a promise of blessing for those who obey it and a judgment for those who despise its precepts. We in the CHP believe this has relevance in the areas of economics, health, productivity, and security. I want to offer some practical applications of this perspective for your consideration, because our God is a very practical God. We desire to see His blessing on Canada, on our homes, on our businesses, on our cities and farms, on our international reputation, on our justice system, on our schools, and on the generations yet to be born. As the Scriptures say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So let's begin with a sober assessment of where we are today economically. Well, Canada is deeply in debt. The federal government owes about $1.2 trillion, and a trillion is $1,000 billion, a billion is $1,000 million, so that's a lot of money. Our current government is adding to that debt using the taxpayers, the current taxpayers and future taxpayers' credit card at the rate of $109 million every day. Yes, our federal debt is growing by $109 million per day. And what is that debt costing? Well, Canada, believe it or not, is paying out about $120 million every single day in interest alone on that debt. No apparent effort is being made to reduce the debt or the cost of servicing the debt. In fact, as interest rates go up at home and around the world, the cost of debt servicing will continue to rise. I'm sure every politician in this country could think of a better use of $120 million per day than to pay it to the international banksters, but very few of those politicians have had the honesty, the courage, or the fiscal discipline to cut wasteful spending in order to achieve a balanced budget, and that's what it takes. It's too easy to use borrowed money to promise voters their certain programs and entitlements, the cost of which exceeds the amount that can be raised by taxes. But those costs and the costs of debt servicing that follow are not only a burden on current taxpayers, but a hidden burden on future generations who will have neither benefited directly from the expenditures nor have had a voice in approving them. In this way, deficit spending is theft from the generations yet to be born. The second unintended consequence of deficit spending is that it devalues our currency by expanding the money supply. Canadians today are already feeling the impact of Canada's growing debt. Inflation is recognized by rising prices, but one of the reasons for those price hikes is the devalued dollar. Citizens not only have increased taxes and fees, but they must pay them out of a paycheck that is now stretched perilously thin by the price of groceries, heating fuel, transportation, and lodging. Some politicians want to blame businesses for all this, but they fail to address the other root cause, wasteful government spending. We in the Christian Heritage Party have long had a policy of mandatory balanced budgets. Now, it's good to hear other parties beginning to use the phrase, but if history tells us anything, it is that both liberals and conservatives, when in power, have used the power of the purse to remain in power. In other words, they have used taxpayers' money and borrowed money to buy votes. While the current government has set a new record for irresponsible and reckless spending, doubling the federal debt in 8 short years, the previous conservative government of Mr. Harper, while promising during successive election periods to return to balanced budgets, still added nearly $150 billion to the national debt. The Bible advises against debt and certainly against failing to pay back one's debt. It says the borrower is servant to the lender. Canada has indeed become a servant to those from whom we have borrowed. And our failure to address this has led to a situation where we are now borrowing to pay the interest on our existing debt. This sets a bad example for our citizens, and if we continue down this path, will eventually lead to bankruptcy. And what about the negative economic consequences of other policy decisions being made by our elected representatives? Where shall we begin? The shedding of innocent blood in abortion clinics has some very observable economic costs. Since 1970, Canada has killed over 4 million preborn babies. At a current rate, generally estimated at about 100,000 per year, that is the equivalent of about 4,000 classrooms of children every year. And that would be the cutting of 4,000 teacher jobs every year. It also represents an annual loss of sales income for food, clothing, toys, books, bicycles, etc. That number also represents the loss of 4 million Canadian workers who would today be building houses, programming computers, performing surgery, and growing crops. In addition, many studies have shown a significant increase in breast cancer rates among women who terminate a first pregnancy. And even a slight increase in breast cancer adds incremental cost to our medical system. Now, the Liberals think that they can replace those 4 million missing children by mass immigration, but the strategy is failing. The cost of caring for this huge number of immigrants who need housing, health care, language training, and other government services cannot be compared to the incremental cost, the gradual addition of infants and toddlers through natural birth within Canadian families. On top of the outright measurable economic costs of abortion, there are the immeasurable, very real outcomes that can be reasonably expected when we violate God's laws. It appears that Canada is already under judgment for the shedding of innocent blood. Who's to say that the fires, floods, droughts, pandemics, economic downturns, increased crime, poor crops, and a falling dollar are not warnings to us to repent of our national sins and to rededicate our nation to the Lord. After all, He made us, male and female He made us, in His image He made us. As our Creator, He knows what's best for us, and His command, thou shalt not kill innocent human life, is not a suggestion. It is an eternal law written in our hearts, even if politicians and judges have ignored it in written legislation. So what other social patterns have we adopted as a nation that violate the spirit and the letter of God's will revealed in Holy Scriptures? Well, God tells us, as His children, to honor your father and mother that you may live long on the earth. If we want Canadian children to have long, happy, and productive lives, we should be encouraging them to respect their parents. This is a good exercise. Children who honor and obey their parents are more likely to honor and respect police officers and others as they grow into adults. They are less likely to be involved in crime or to go to jail. Today, however, we have public educators, politicians, and education ministers telling children not to talk with their parents about the gender ideology being imposed on them in public schools. They're encouraged to change their names, pronouns, and in some cases even to begin taking puberty-blocking drugs without informing or involving their parents in those big decisions. The setting up of barriers of communication within families and the recruitment of young people as LGBTQ activists without their parents' knowledge or consent has a destructive impact on these young lives. Some of them, when they take further steps, some has gone as far as taking cross-sex hormones, enduring physical mutilation, removal of body parts, and irreversibly embracing a lifestyle inconsistent with their biological genders, they may find themselves unable to reproduce and often subject to depression and suicide. But aside from these moral considerations, there are huge economic aspects of this recent peer-conscious trend. The cost of the drugs and the surgeries are borne, again, by hardworking taxpayers. A medical system that is currently unable to meet the needs of Canada's citizens for other, less controversial procedures is now stretched to accommodate this perceived need, which many experts declare is not only unnecessary, but extremely harmful. And the final immoral behavior I wish to address is intentional dishonesty. Governments that lie about their intentions, their motives, and the results of their actions invite God's judgment on their tenure and on the jurisdictions over which God has granted them a measure of temporal authority. They also encourage deceitfulness among the people whom God has given them the privilege of leading. There's a proverb that says, when a ruler listens to lies, all his servants become wicked. Leaders ought to be shining examples of integrity, and honestly, sadly, this is not always the case. Representatives of the current federal government have lied about many things. They declared that certain pharmaceutical products were safe and effective, even when the evidence indicated otherwise. They have said that they value freedom of speech and the protection of peaceful protest when their actions proved otherwise. They have imposed unbearably harsh carbon taxes that have driven up the price of everything in Canada, claiming that it is good for the planet, while knowing that these same taxes are doing nothing to preserve the environment. They've launched a war on beef, pretending that crickets are the equivalent menu item, and in doing so, they're damaging the economy, disrupting families, and degrading our food supply. The bottom line is that governments at all levels must humble themselves and admit that they cannot spend their way out of debt. Honest politicians must tell their constituents and the voters who put them in office that they are going to cut spending dramatically, and then they must do it. They must institute mandatory balanced budgets and begin slowly and painfully to pay down the accumulated federal debt. They must end confiscatory carbon taxes. They must abandon their failed, useless, and expensive attempts to mandate vaccines, masks, and antisocial behavior. When I say antisocial, it involves a separation of Canadian citizens, one from another, which we've all experienced. And they must recognize the value of every human life, acknowledge God the Creator as the source of all life, as it says in our charter, and begin treating every Canadian citizen equally under the law. Only if we return to a respectful and God-honoring society can we hope to receive the blessings of productive crops, safe streets, economic stability, justice in our courts, flourishing communities, and peaceful homes. This transition cannot be accomplished by politics alone, by economic measures, or by government edicts. This transformation can only come when the citizens of this nation, including politicians, judges, doctors, police officers, students, and teachers, acknowledge our failures and seek the forgiveness and favor of Almighty God. And for this great transformation and renewal, we in the Christian Heritage Party work, hope, and pray. Thank you very much.